Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning as we begin our time of worship on this third Sunday of Advent. Folks, I don't remember when the last time was I had this many people behind me as I stood up here. Can we welcome the choir back? Let's hope they can stay this time, huh? All right. Please take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of each row, closest to the center aisle, and then pass it along to your neighbor seated next to you. And please, please check out the announcement page inside your bulletins. There are several Advent season outreach opportunities coming up. The warmth tray is just outside the lobby doors next to the elevator. There are also notes in the bulletin about the Samaritan's Purse Ministry and the Berry Christian Church Christmas card. There's also an announcement about the an evening with the Remmerts coming up in February. And the Christian Women's Fellowship has plenty of treats for sale back in the table in the back. We often get to indulge in guilty pleasures during this joyous time of the year. There are pecans, chocolates, sweet and salty pretzels for sale. And the proceeds of the sales go toward a number of ministries here at Berry. Next week, December 19th, we will have a fellowship lunch that will be catered by Hy-Vee, so we don't need to bring anything except our appetites. That's the next Sunday. And following the fellowship lunch will be our annual congregational meeting. And during that time, the CWF will continue to have the delicious treats for sale, as well as some items that we usually sell during the Turkey Dinner Bazaar, which was kind of a casualty of the coronavirus health measures these past 2 years. So please make a point to be present next week as we resume a very meaningful tradition here at Berry. And speaking of resuming traditions, our Christmas Eve services will also resume as they were prior to the coronavirus restrictions. So on Christmas Eve, we will gather for a service at 5 o'clock with our own Berry kids leading portions of that service, then for a traditional candlelight service at 7 o'clock. So please plan to be with us on Christmas Eve for one or perhaps both of those services. All right, may we now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I can assure you that the folks behind me are really, really excited to share their voices with you today. So I invite you to stand for the call to worship. God, in his abundance, prepares our table and anoints our heads with oil.
Surely our cup overflows.
To him who does far more than we could ever ask for, we offer our thanks.
To God be the glory.
Forever and ever. Amen. I now invite you to share your voice as you turn to number 129, Lift Up Your Heads, O Mighty Gates, all stanzas.
Lift up your heads, O mighty gates, behold the glory. Sovereign One is drawing near, the Savior of the world is here. Fling wide the portals of your heart, make it
bow for a few moments of prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the privilege to gather here in your house and to continue to celebrate the entrance of Jesus Christ into this world. Jesus brought our ancestors much joy and hope, and we are grateful that we are still able to experience those things today. Lord God, we pray that each of us can focus less on the worldly commercialization of this Christmas season, and that we can focus more on the joy and hope of the Advent season as we anticipate the birth of the Christ child, the baby Jesus, who taught us how to live lives that focus not just on ourselves, but on the well-being of our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our loved ones, and our friends. May we remember the joy of his birth and the depth of his teachings as we continue to journey through Advent here at Berry Christian Church. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated.
Good morning. As we gaze upon the many decorations that adorn our sanctuary during the Advent season, we see our sanctuary take on a more brilliant appearance, as this place of worship is infused with the colors of green and red, silver and gold, blue and pink, and violet and white. Even as the increasing light of the Advent candle shone away the darkness of the shorter days that is so often considered synonymous with the darkness of sin, so also do the brilliant colors of Christmas shun away the drab brown so profusely evident throughout the dormant months of winter, as these colors commemorate the presence of God with us. Thus, on this third Sunday of the Advent season, we continue our anticipation of the birth of our Lord Jesus as Seth, Dana, Troy, and Agni Wilson come forward for the lighting of the first three candles of the Advent wreath, while they also share the meaning behind this morning's colors of blue and pink.
Good morning. We first relight the first and second candles of the Advent wreath as we previously learned the meaning behind the colors of everlasting green, sacrificial red, starlight silver, and the kingship of gold.
I bet you do.
This morning we also increase the light of the Advent wreath with the third candle of the wreath as it is represented in the colors of blue and pink.
Most all of us easily recognize the Holy Mother Mary in religious artwork, for she is the woman adorned in blue. The medieval times statuary pieces and paintings begin to adorn sanctuaries because these works of art conveyed important Bible stories for the multitudes who could not read or write. During those early centuries of the church, blue dye for cloth or paint was also much more expensive than gold bullion or gold leaf. Blue dye was thus rarely used for clothing or paints, except for the most wealthy or royal families. But since Mary, the mother of Jesus, was so highly revered, she was depicted wearing blue to signify her holiness. Blue was also used to color the sky, the waters of creation, or God's heavenly realm, because these too were considered holy. Pink, or a shade of rose, is usually on the third Sunday. On our Advent wreath, our third candle is pink, while the other weekly candles are blue. The color pink, or rose, is the color for repentance. It reminds us all that before we can truly approach the holiness of God, represented in the Christ child, we must first turn away from our sin, seek God's forgiveness, and thus be truly redeemed. Understanding the meaning behind the colors of blue and pink this Advent season, we light the third candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of repentance.
Kiddos, come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Oh, it's always good to see my kids. Anyway, today Pastor Dennis is going to talk a little bit more about the prayer that we've been learning kind of about. We haven't studied too much about it the last couple weeks because we're very busy practicing for our service on Christmas Eve, aren't we? Yeah. But today Pastor Dennis is going to talk about one of my favorite parts. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me." Kind of reminds me of Thanksgiving and Christmas. We make these big tables and we have people that we love and we care for, and they come and they're part of our big feast and our celebration, huh? But then it says, "He anoints my head with oil." What's that all about? You wouldn't like it very much if you went to Grandma's house and she poured oil on your head, would you? No, I probably wouldn't like it very much either. Because we don't understand what that means. But in Jesus' time, that was a very important thing. That meant if they anointed your head with oil, that meant they had great respect for you and you were greatly honored. So that's a big deal that we say Jesus is going to anoint our heads with oil. He loves us that much to do all that honor for us. Oh, wow, that's pretty awesome. Then my favorite, "My cup runneth over." You know what happens if you pour too much water or too much milk into your cup, don't you? Makes a big mess all over the table. Yeah. But in this, it means that Jesus keeps pouring good things into us. He just keeps, it fills us all the way up to the top, and he just keeps going. He gives us good stuff and more good stuff and more good stuff, and it just keeps going and going and going. And all because he loves us so much. I think that's pretty awesome. Should we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all of the mercy and the grace that you give to us each and every day, that you show us so much love, that you not only fill us, but you continue to pour all of these beautiful, wonderful things into our lives. We trust that we will always follow and love you, and we pray that especially in this season when we are ready to celebrate the birth of our Lord, that we remember to always be grateful and to understand how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. As we are privileged to go before the Lord in prayer this morning, certainly our hearts go out to the many, many people in the states of Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Illinois affected by the tornadic activity of Friday evening through Saturday morning. We do want to lift up to you that our Week of Compassion offering is always open and available to receive gifts, and they will send aid directly to these people in need wherever they may be throughout the various states. And if you would make a wish to make a contribution in that direction, all you need to do is write a check to the church on the memo line. Just put Week of Compassion, and that resource will go directly to the Week of Compassion and render aid in a number of significant ways. You can do that any time of the year because those resources are constantly being used. And if it's something you'd want to do sometime in the near future, mindful of many people who are in need now, it certainly would be put to use. Also in our church family, we keep Jim Owen and Bill Ballard in our prayers as both of them continue to be at North Kansas City Hospital. And those who are recovering at home include Mike McLean, Glenn Bartley, Jake Otto, Helen Kirby, and Juanita Wyckoff. Also, we're remembering Debbie Buzinski at McCright Rehabilitation and hopeful that Rick Parvin is going to be able to go home from his rehabilitation, hopefully this week. We also keep Jerry Donahue in our prayers as he is continuing to try to work through the adjustments while he is in dialysis treatment, still waiting for that kidney transplant sometime down the road. And we are lifting up Carol Cook's daughter, Christy, as she continues to seek medical guidance for the thyroid concern that she has. And Bonnie Wisdom asked for prayers for her son-in-law, Chris Bishop. He will be undergoing a surgical procedure for Parkinson's disease on Wednesday of this week in Colorado. And Rihanna Ralston also went through a surgical procedure this past Friday, has again, one more complication of medical concern on top of many others. So please keep Rihanna in your prayers, as we also have been mindful of many, many other individuals and families over the last several weeks. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are privileged to once again gather in your house to offer you praise and celebration. Yet on this third Sunday of the Advent season, in which we appreciate the comforts of our homes and the blessing of this sanctuary, we are also humbled to know that there are thousands of our fellow citizens who have no home in which to find shelter, thousands who do not have a sanctuary in which to offer you praise this Lord's Day morning. And countless families are mourning the loss of more than 100 loved ones, while countless others are suffering from injuries and loss of employment. As efforts are underway to once again bring back a measure of predictable life from yet another all too common natural disaster, we pray that your Holy Spirit's great strength and comfort may abide with the many suffering and be with the first responders, rescue personnel, utility repairmen, and workers spanning the states of Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Illinois, and Mississippi. And on this third Sunday of Advent, in which we once again light the candles of the Advent wreath to usher in the light of Christ's presence to shun away the darkness of evil and sin, we pray, O God, that the blue color of hope and the pink color of repentance will remind all of us that it is while we draw near to you in repentance that Christ is able to offer us hope. We humbly seek your guidance as we also strive to be a benefit to others, as Christ our Lord offers us the pathway to life eternal. It is in his name that we offer this prayer, as we also recite the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The two that I creep.
thank you, Nora, and the choir. Isn't it a joy to have the choir back? Let's give them a word of applause. Thank you. We just praise God. Thank you all so much. Thank you. Tradition tells us that Martin Luther was in awe of the brilliant stars in the night sky as their light pierced through the evergreen trees while he was walking home one night. This inspired him to light candles on an early version of the Christmas tree, saying that they are to remind us of the star that led the wise men to Jesus. Today, on our chrismon tree that adorns our sanctuary with symbols of the Christian faith, we use only white lights, for they are to remind us that Christ is indeed the brilliant light that shines forth the hope and truth of God's love throughout the world. For as Jesus says of himself in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness." As we partake in the bread and cup of the Lord's table on this third Sunday of the Advent season, we acknowledge the sacrifice Christ made for the forgiveness of our sin, while we also celebrate Christ as the light of God's realm, the light who leads us to God's eternal realm. This we celebrate as we turn to our communion hymn. It's number 127. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please, of "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence."
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descends. Full homage to demand. At his feet the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence, as with ceaseless voice they cry, "Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia, God Most High."
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come forward here in this beautiful sanctuary, we are remembering and celebrating the beauty of the gift, of the best gift of life ever, and that was the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We just want to thank you now and appreciate the fact that he lived and died. He shed his blood, suffered for us greatly, so that we would have the promise of life eternally with you. To this we're so very grateful. In Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Finding the perfect gift for our loved one, we may also go to great lengths to find the best wrapping paper. And if our gift requires a sizable box, we may even splurge by topping it off with a giant bow. For we want that first impression to also be very special. Our loving God sent his precious Son into the world, yet on Christmas morning we are humbled by our first impression of observing the King of Kings wrapped in simple cotton swaddling bands and lying in the feeding trough for cows and donkeys, rather than arrayed in fine linen and silks and lying in the crib of royalty. Christ was born not into the life of kings and queens, but humbly to a working class family from Nazareth to remind us that it is not the wrappings and trappings of man's worldly affairs that are important, but rather it is the gift of ourselves for the benefit of others. For the Christ child, who never owned anything of earthly significance, paid the ultimate price to offer each of us the greatest and most precious gift of life eternal. And every Sunday, we offer a portion of our blessings as a tithe, as a gift of thanksgiving, as Anna first offers us a word of prayer.
Lord, we are humbled at the events that are happening all around us. Sometimes it's hard to focus to see beyond the event, but we pull together as a congregation to help however we can. The gifts that are gathered here today will be used to share your love and grace. We ask for your blessings on these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes, now and always. Amen. Please be seated. Speaking with a sales clerk this past week, I asked her if she was getting close to finishing her own family's Christmas shopping, and she then went on to mention a few details, and then she just paused and she interjected, "Well, you know, I guess it really won't matter much because my mother, the day after Christmas, she'll just start shopping all over again." And I said, "You know, I have a feeling that for your mother, every day is Christmas, isn't it?" And she got a good laugh out of that as we parted our ways. And yet as I was leaving the building, I got to thinking about that notion. You know, the truth is, as people of faith, every day is Christmas Day. For it is not about presents and places. It is about that relationship that God has given us through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It is that up close and personal connection that we have with God because of Jesus. And therefore, every day really is a Christmas day. Because, you know, the word comes from Christ Mass, and it is a reference to the fact that many centuries ago, all the trappings of things we do was really illegal, but what was permitted was to have a worship service, and that service took place after sunset and yet before the dawn of the next day, and is the reason why we created the tradition of actually having a midnight service. And at Christ Mass, it was a time to celebrate the presence of the Christ child. And in essence, God coming and dwelling among us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Surely this is the spiritual abundance that King David must have had in mind as he was writing the 23rd Psalm. As the text tells us here in the fifth verse, which is our focus for today, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." May we pray. Lord God, as Christmas Day approaches, we truly appreciate the truth that the abundant life is not just the presence and places. It is truly a living spiritual relationship with you through Christ our Lord, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. But you know, before we can begin to look at the spiritual essence of what this verse is all about, we must first understand the tangible day-to-day experiences of what would have been going on between a shepherd and his sheep as King David composed these words of this fifth verse. Let's look at the very first portion of the verse, Psalm 23, verse 5a. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Well, you know, that's just hard for us to imagine, that whole notion. How could you sit at a table when you're wondering about your enemy kind of being at behind you or to the side of you, or wondering if your enemy is going to approach while you're trying to enjoy a good meal? But let's understand what was going on between a shepherd and the flock. Last week, you recall that it's from the spring season through the summer months that the shepherd would lead his flock to higher and ever higher elevations as the grasses greened up through the progressive pasture lands. And by the time summer arrives, the shepherd and his flock are at the pastures of the highest plateau. The word for these high plateaus in many ancient languages literally translates table. And that is a familiar understanding for many of us, especially for those of us who've lived in portions of our country in which Spanish is part of the culture and part of the identification of places. Because we know in Spanish that the word mesa simply is a word for table. Yet it was often a flat plateau, whether it be in New Mexico or West Texas or wherever. That's a mesa. And we know that in the Spanish language, mesa verde simply means what? Means green table. That's all. You know? And so when David writes, "Thou preparest a table before me," he is envisioning the sheep grazing in the highest plateau, the tablelands, if you will, during the summer season. But what most non-shepherding people don't understand is all the work that has gone into the preparations of this green table, if you will, months before the flock is ever grazing upon it. In the winter months, the shepherd, his children, and if he is fortunate enough to have helpers, the whole group goes through each progressive pasture land and toils endlessly preparing the table lands and making them safe. The shepherd and his people scatter the seed to replace barren patches and to replenish sparse portions of the ground. The seed works itself into the ground through progressive rains and hopefully snowfalls. Those of you who have fescue grass, you know what I mean. You throw that grass out in the, or the seed out in the winter, and you hope it works its way down and fills in those patches, don't you? And then there's some folks like me, I just planted Bermuda grass on the western side of my house and call it good. You know, it just grows on its own. But you, if you have fescue grass, you understand what it means to have to replace and replenish and replace and replenish and do that every year. The shepherd and his people seek out and pull by hand those grasses known to be poisonous to the sheep. Blue camas, for example, is a beneficial grass for the sheep. Yet in the same family, white camas is so poisonous that even if sheep simply nibble a few of the lily white leaves, lambs will stiffen up and become paralyzed as their bodies succumb to the toxic poison of those plants. And yet the problem, as you see, sheep often don't get the distinction between the two. It's up to the shepherd to keep the poisonous plants out of the pasture. The shepherd and his people clear the debris from the creek, streams, and ponds. This keeps the water clean and free from toxins and keeps the sheep from getting their hooves trapped if they enter just the edge of the water. The shepherd and his people rebuild any walled portions of the sheep pens that may have fallen in storms, for the pens do provide distinctive protection from lurking predators. And the shepherd and his people clear away any tall brush near the pastures where wild predators can lie in wait to pounce upon any unsuspecting sheep. In like manner, we people of faith must realize that God is always diligent in his efforts to prepare the tablelands for you and me. God gives us his word. He gives us our prayer lives. He gives us fellowship with other people of faith. He gives us the example of his son to provide us with the most nourishing spiritual grasses as we graze our way through daily living. Yet we, like the sheep, we can wander from God's pasture lands. The poisons of the world's ways are like those grasses that are similar to the good grasses, yet we nibble away, not realizing how susceptible we are to the poisons that deaden our senses and easily kill that close relationship we should have with God. And if we wander too far off from God's green pastures of Christian fellowship and truth, we can find ourselves caught in the thistles and easily become prey to Satan's influences. The second portion of the verse, Psalm 23, verse 5b. Thou anointest my head with oil. As spring turns to summer, bugs begin to thrive, especially in the high plateaus. Chief among the nuisances for sheep are little critters called nose flies. They are gnat-like insects that buzz increasingly around the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. It sounds really terrible, and it is. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days. A small, slender, worm-like larva will appear, and they will work their way into the sheep's navel passages and create irritation and inflammation. Left untreated, they cause such trauma that the sheep will continually burrow her head into the ground and bash her head up against something solid, trying to get relief while often causing severe injury, if not in fact death. It is the diligent good shepherd, however, who works quickly at even the slightest sign of nose flies. The shepherd anoints each head and nose with a concoction of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, and it works. It keeps those nasty critters at bay early in the spring and throughout the entire summer season. In biblical times, when a guest arrived at a host's home, the guest's feet were quickly washed with a small, washed, and then a small amount of fragrant perfume was placed on the head of each guest. The gesture was the decisive way for the host to offer a measure of comfort to each guest, even before they were blessed with a wonderful meal. Surely even this was a tangible human image of the anointing of one's head that would have been familiar to King David. Then the last portion of Psalm 23, verse 5. My cup runneth over. Sheep operate only by instinct and do not have the depth of self-awareness and realization that we humans have. Sheep may not really be able to appreciate the benefits they experience because of the tireless toiling of a good shepherd. But surely it is in his sheep's ability to experience contentment, to thrive, to provide good milk, and to produce a bountiful woolen fleece that is the benefit the good shepherd experiences for his efforts. When people are the recipients of significant physical benefit or blessing, we may declare the familiar expression, "My cup is running over." Yet we often think of it in terms of something of a physical blessing of one sort or another. But what we must understand is surely King David, and surely every one of us, must be thinking, it is not the physical things that are of greatest importance, for they are fleeting. Even Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 remind us, we are not to store up our riches for ourselves here on earth, where moths and rust can destroy and robbers can break in and steal. For we store up our riches in heaven. It is the heavenly realm that God has truly given to us. It is the spiritual dimension of life that really is the grassy plateau at the highest level. Isn't it really interesting to think in terms of the fact that the 23rd Psalm, the author is progressively sending us ever upward, higher and higher and higher, until he gets to this point at the highest plateau where he is saying, surely my cup runs over. And in this season of Advent, in which we celebrate Christ with us, God's presence among us, Emmanuel, God is with us, surely we should exclaim, oh, isn't it so wondrous how God has blessed us so? And so that's why the sign outside this morning simply says, life in abundance. John chapter 10, verse 10, as Jesus said, I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its abundance. But that abundance is of the spiritual realm. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. We'll stand and sing our hymn of invitation, and Ryan and Lenora will sing just the first and the last stanzas of hymn number 150. That'll get you out the door to the Chiefs game just a little bit quicker. First and last stanzas, 150, please. May we stand?
herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this third Sunday of Advent. A reminder, next Sunday we have the congregational meeting immediately after this particular service. That will be for the vote on our 2022 budget and also for the election vote of our new deacons, elders, and junior deacons. Also, immediately after that very quick congregational meeting, we will have the fellowship lunch in the fellowship hall directly below us. It's catered, so there's nothing for you to bring. Please just bring yourself and an appetite, and let's enjoy that time of fellowship. In fact, we moved all that to next week because the Chiefs game is going on today. So, but we thank you for being here, and may we offer a word of prayer as we depart. Lord God, your Spirit is with us to grant us a great measure of your abundance in the Spirit. For this we are indeed grateful as we journey forward with this new week. Emmanuel, we proclaim, God is with us. Amen.
Blessed be the God of Israel, who comes to set us free, who visits and redeems us and grants us liberty. The prophet spoke of mercy, of freedom and release. God shall fulfill the promise to bring our people peace. On all by death imprisoned, the sun begins to rise, the dawning of forgiveness upon the sinner's eyes. To guide the feet of pilgrims along the paths of peace, oh, bless our God and Savior with songs that never cease.